government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 4th on the West Coast, and now January the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, 2010. Here we are, another year. I can't believe that we've endured a little over 11 months of the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the world. We may talk about that to an extent, but rather than go into any news, I'm going to go right ahead and bring tonight's guest on. He's been a regular guest on Mondays now for the past several months, and by popular demand, we've brought him back again. He is a specialist in naturopathic medicine, as well as a fantastic researcher, a talk show host in his own right. He has a show on republicbroadcasting.org called The Story Behind the Story. And believe me, there's always a story behind the story, and we're going to get to another one of those with tonight's guest, my good friend, and hopefully yours, or should I say ours, Dr. A. Truat. Drew, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks again, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show and be a little bit, a whole lot politically incorrect tonight with our subject matter. But I submit this story behind the story needs exposure as much as possible, and we need people to wake up and start investigating things. We can only do so much, you and I.
Yes, true. I've got to share with the listeners and those who have been frantic worrying about my website. I'm upgrading some things to keep the nosy noses out of the way, and I'm cleaning a few things up and designing it with a little bit more forethought. And as I'm going over the articles that I'm reposting, I'm amazed at how much of what many of us have discerned is going on a couple of years ago actually has panned out exactly like we called the shots. The amount of corruption that I have written about has basically been in the back of my mind, but I brought it all front center, we'll say, in terms of consciousness, and it just never ceases to amaze me all the lies that have been debunked, and yet people still blindly follow the long-legged Mac Daddy. I can't reason this out any other way other than to say that everybody's under mind control.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The man is an absolute master of what's called the neuro-linguistic programming, NLP.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a tremendous amount of that going on in his speeches and his mannerisms, and a fact is, fully one-third of the public are very susceptible to neuro-linguistic programming techniques, NLP. But if you're very, very good at it and skilled as he is, as much as half of the population, it's just hoodwinked by it completely. They are almost like to give a metaphor, it's like a snake hypnotizing its prey before it crushes it and consumes it, and that's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And just to go on just for a moment, I'm noticing also that many of the things that I'm noticing between the various families of these bloodlines that have ruled and dominated politics over a period of time use the same dates and the same numbers over and over and over again. You can't have this many people rise to power in a government in one country time and again with people being born in August, getting married in October, and dying in November. It's uncanny. Now, there are a few exceptions, but these exceptions are also as duplicitous. I see it over and over and over again. And it's as if the lies have to be repeated by repeating the next series of lies in exactly the same manner. I think there's a tremendous amount of satanic ritual behind the decisions that are made and the roles that all these characters called politicians and world leaders are playing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. Yes. The symbolism of dates and times, of course, is tied to Kabbalah, you know, the what I call the new paganism. Mm-hmm. It's really the old Luciferianism repackaged and reborn. So, you know, they have the different star charts and their different times, but it comes out to be a pattern that is, as you found out, it's just quite amazing how these bloodlines operate.
Yes. Well, I know that you came tonight with a topic in mind, and I'm prepared to assist you in that with the use of modern technology. Guess what? It works. We're going to delve into some of this neuro-linguistic programming that you were speaking of.
Indeed. You know, before we jump into that, I've been doing some interviews with a very, I think he's exactly on point. He's a research doctor and a pastor now, named Scott Lively, and he back quite a few years ago, he did a lot of research into the National Socialist Party, better known as the Nazi Party, that controlled Germany and much of Europe, of course, in 1938 to 1944. The book is entitled The Pink Swastika, Homosexuality in the Nazi Party. It's an unbelievable book. When I say read it and reread it, golly, about 3 or 4 years ago, my jaw continued to bounce off the floor. On my radio show, and again, I read the letter that I received from a lady in Florida who was a teenager in 1938, Austria, and she recounted the whole history that she lived with the Nazi Party basically taking over Austria by popular vote and the reasons that led up to it. Now, the reason why this is so relevant is the model that was done by the socialist group in Nazi Germany. The same model is being reenacted here in America as this woman, now in her late 70s, so adroitly and correctly ascertained. Now, the bottom line to all of this is this underlying thread of the socialist leaders being active in a secret society called the Thule Society that goes back to, again, Madame Blavatsky and her occult teachings, basically expounding that the sex with young boys is the highest spiritual encounter they can have to receive basic revelations from their God. Now, we have to delve into this because really that's the hidden secret, I think, of so much of the shenanigans going on in the Congress of the United States. The head of the House of Representatives Banking Committee, the Representative Barney Frank from Massachusetts, his nickname is Barney Nambla Frank. He's very public in his homosexuality and his advocacy of young boys. I'm amazed, Don, that a group like NAMBLA, N-A-M-B-L-A, which stands for North American Man Boy Love Association, is not shut down by attorney generals in every state. Last I looked, every state has laws on the books prohibiting sexual activity with minors. The NAMBLA website, if you Google it up, NAMBLA, I think NAMBLA.org or NAMBLA.com, I'm not sure which one, but just Google it up, NAMBLA, you see their website. Their logo is sex before eight, before it's too late, for heaven's sakes. And, you know, as you really look at the long-legged Mac Daddy, B.O., in the White House, and read his writings in his book, his poems that he wrote, you find out that there was very, very much the homosexual pattern, the deviant homosexual or even bisexual pattern throughout his life. And of course, then we have the sworn testimony of a man named Larry Sinclair, who came forward with sworn affidavits about his relationship with B.O. In 1999, about using cocaine with him and performing sexual acts with him there in Chicago. So we get an absolute preponderance of evidence that this socialist in the White House has a very, very dark agenda. Now, we can talk again about the dangers of this health care reform, the Senate version with Senator Harry Reid from Nevada and his version that passed, and the creation of a 15-member oversight committee that basically will decide who gets treatment, necessary life-saving treatments, and those that do not. Again, that is so, so absolutely parallel to the so-called Nazi T4 group that specialized in euthanasia in the Hitler regime. So make no mistake, the parallels are amazing, but we can just focus tonight on the homosexuality of the socialist movement, why that's part of their agenda, and just show the self-evidence of that. It's quite amazing that no mainstream media is really hammering this home the way it needs to be done. The speech in its entirety, the speech of Barack Hussein Obama to the Human Rights Campaign, the HRC, which those of you that don't know that is basically the Political Action Committee of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender group. It's an absolute stunning declaration and impeachment of the man, if you really analyze it completely, which I would like to do in this hour, Don.
Okay, now I have the segments in roughly 10-minute segments, but yes. Feel free to stop me whenever necessary. Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead and play that, and then I'll just say stop, and I want to make a comment if that'll work for you. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. This is part one of President Obama, or the long-legged Mac Daddy, speaks at the annual HRC dinner. And this was October 2009, I believe.
October 11th of last year.
Friends and family, it is my great honor to introduce to you the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Please. You're making me blush. I love you back. Joe Salmanese, who's doing an outstanding job on behalf of HRC. To my great friend and supporter, Terry Bean, co-founder of HRC. Representative Patrick Kennedy. David Huebner, the ambassador designee to New Zealand and Samoa. John Berry, our director of OPM, who's doing a great job. Nancy Sutley, chairman of Council on Environmental Quality. Fred Hochberg, chairman of Export-Import Bank. And my dear friend, Tipper Gore, who's in the house. Thank you so much, all of you. It is a privilege to be here tonight to open for Lady Gaga. I've made it. I want to thank the Human Rights Campaign for inviting me to speak, and for the work you do every day in pursuit of equality on behalf of the millions of people in this country who work hard in their jobs and care deeply about their families, and who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. For nearly 30 years, you've advocated on behalf of those without a voice. And that's not easy, for despite the real gains that we've made, there's still laws to change, and there's still hearts to open. There are still fellow citizens, perhaps neighbors, even loved ones, good and decent people, who hold fast to outworn arguments and old attitudes, who fail to see your families like their families, who would deny you the rights most Americans take for granted. And that's painful, and it's heartbreaking.
You see what he's doing right here. He lets the cat out of the bag. If you read the transcript, especially, it's not you that he's talking to. He joins with them. He says we have made him. He begins the speech by honoring Joe Salmanese, who's the head of the HRC, and two, he says, quote, my great friend and supporter, Terry Bean, co-founder of HRC. Now, there's no more rabid pro-gay agenda activists in the world than those two, and he's obviously very close friends with them. So he says, as president, we have made changes. Or make many more changes to make. So he basically implies that he is a part of their group, absolutely wants to be included in their membership. And that tells you a lot about what really his agenda is. So go ahead and let's go ahead with the rest of the clip.
Okay.
Of the arguments you make and by the power of the example that you set in your own lives as parents and friends, as PTA members and church members, as advocates and leaders in your communities, and you're making a difference. That's the story of the movement for fairness and equality. And not just for those who are gay, but for all those in our history who've been denied the rights and responsibilities of citizenship. For all who've been told that the full blessings and opportunities of this country were closed to them. It's the story of progress sought by those with little influence or power, by men and women who brought about change through quiet personal acts of compassion and defiance wherever and whenever they could. It's the story of the Stonewall protests, when a group of citizens with a few options, and fewer supporters stood up against discrimination and helped to inspire a movement. It's the story of an epidemic that decimated a community, and the gay men and women who came to support one another and save one another, who continue to fight this scourge, who have demonstrated before the world that different kinds of families can show the same compassion in a time of need. And it's the story of the human rights campaign and the fights you fought for nearly 30 years, helping to elect candidates who share your values, standing against those who would enshrine discrimination into our Constitution, advocating on behalf of those living with HIV/AIDS, and fighting for progress in our capital and across America. Now, this story, this fight, continues now. And I'm here with a simple message. I'm here with you in that fight.
Okay, Don. That's good. The rest of the speech is pretty much the same rehashing of what he's saying there. Yeah, see, ladies and gentlemen, he's advocating that change has to happen through defiance and revolution. And what you really have to understand, we're talking about the basic tenets of society. I mean, If you whittle away that as Hitler and his Gestapo homosexual men around him accomplished, according to, again, the research done in the book The Pink Swastika, you really are whittling away at the very bedrock of society itself. And you see, either the Bible and the code of morality that is given to us by our founding fathers, and most importantly by Thomas Jefferson, who wrote essays about morality and against the scourge of homosexuality. You see, if you are against that, if you are against the very bedrock basis of morality and the traditional family, a relationship of love between a man and a woman, for the purpose of having a family, you see, then you are by necessity anti-Christian, anti-Bible, and anti-Republican freedom. You see, this is not hate speech, as they would like to have you believe. No, it's not that at all. It's just telling people that you can't have both coexist. You simply can't. Because one will always be fighting against the other, just like oil wants to repel water and vice versa. You can't have both. You really can't. And if, you know, the big lie that is put out, Don, is the gay and lesbian community wants people to believe that their choice is the same really as a person's skin color, and that is an absolute fallacy, an absolute lie. You know, people have a choice on their sexual orientation. I've done vast research in the subject, Don, from friends who've come to me with family members that have chosen the lifestyle, and asking, you know, me to help research and come to answers. There are deep-seated psychological problems in the vast majority of people that choose to be homosexual, lesbian, or gay. And that's the reality of it. And, you know, if they choose to make a change and choose to go away from that lifestyle, you know, there's tens of thousands of people that have overcome that and have no longer as a choice. This is simply the way it is. It's not about acceptance, because their agenda, just like the Nazi agenda, is domination, it's control, and a full power base from which to operate for another agenda that is most definitely anti-Christ, anti-Christian.
Yes, as I listen to this speech, and of course we can't see the video on the radio, but certainly anybody can go to YouTube or to Google video and look it up. The underlying theme here is that we should tolerate anything that's anti-family, and eventually it has to weed itself out, so to speak. How long can a society exist promoting the non-procreative aspects of creation? You know,
it's really not natural at all, and that's the point. If you go back in I've read a lot of philosophers' writings, and again, going back to Thomas Jefferson's writing, he wrote basically, quote, in his papers, the foundation of any human civilization is a moral and healthy sexual constitution. Everything else is window dressing. I mean,
yeah.
That's as clear as you can get it. You have to have a basic moral and an ethical structure. And when you really dig deep into this, you find out, you know, those that are really promoting this have so many other problems. The book of Larry Sinclair that has just come out, documenting what happened with him and Obama in 1999, and the very likely murder of Donald Young in Chicago when he was basically counseling the Obama campaign to come clean and admit fully their homosexual, you know, the homosexual gender.
Yes, I had written a little bit about Donald Young, who was the music minister at the church there. And there were some very strange occurrences on the morning of his death. It was reported by Jeremiah Wright, the pastor of the church, that he wouldn't be coming in that day. Now, allegedly, the murder was occurring at that time that he made that statement, or had occurred just prior to that. So he had foreknowledge to even say that. No one had talked to Donald Young, and Donald Young plays into this Larry Sinclair story. According to Sinclair, he had received calls and emails from Donald Young because Young had learned about the affair between Larry Sinclair and Barack Obama, and he was very upset about that. He was also admittedly gay himself, Donald Young. So.
Well, yeah, the story behind the story, you know, I have a couple of sources in Chicago who are just telling me what they've uncovered. There's testimony that's not become public that Donald Young had an affair with, had a love relationship with Barack Obama, and was basically trying to blackmail Obama to come out of the closet and to tell the truth. And when Sinclair came in, it was basically a love triangle, which didn't sit well with Donald Young.
Yes. And I found it rather interesting, too, on the heels of Sinclair's press conference in Washington before the National Press Club. They had him arrested and taken to jail under an alleged subpoena or warrant that was out for his arrest. And it was Beau Biden, the son of Joe Biden, who was the attorney general of the state of Delaware, where they took Sinclair to prison.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Joe Biden being given the vice presidency after in exchange for getting Sinclair out of the way. But I saw and heard his comments before the National Press Club, and he did not waver a bit. He passed polygraph examinations, even though they say, well, they're not admissible in court. That's just a legal game that they play. Certainly they arrest you on the basis of failing it, but then they do that just to arrest you, to get you into the system. And in Sinclair's case, he had been in jail a number of times. Simultaneously, another warrant, alleged warrant, comes out of the state of Colorado, which was totally absurd, again, in an effort to discredit him. So these people play hardball, covering up their tracks, but all of this is a deflection to keep people from paying attention to what occurred at the church there. And these, by the way, these claims of having been at the church for 20 or more years are outright lies. If you follow my research, and I make this point over and over again, that the associations that Obama had were not as upright and righteous as he would have everybody believe. His family, his alleged family, were not related to him whatsoever. They were handlers, they were CIA agents, Mossad agents, that traveled the world doing their dirty deeds. And if you read my research on this, you get the feeling that this is a Soviet version of the remake of Little Red Riding Hood. It's such a preposterous story. The whole thing, it stinks from one end to the other.
Based on your research again, and the origins of the family, so-called family, Barry Sotoro, or whatever his name is, let me just read to you a full psychological profiling. This was written in 1991 by a Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, who basically wrote a manual for a psychological treatment of those that want to help with their homosexuality. He writes, quote, and this is after 30 years of research by a group of colleagues. Dr. Nicolosi writes, quote, homosexuality is a developmental problem that is almost always the result of problems in family relations, particularly between father and son. In other words, when a son feels abandoned by a father figure, that is the breeding ground at a specific age. As a result of failure with father, Nicolosi writes, the boy does not fully internalize male gender identity and thus develops homosexuality. This is the most commonly seen clinical model. Again, this was a study published and done in the year 1991. Now, of course, we know that the Obama father figure, which is never there, the Sotoro family and name, like you said in your research, shows that most definitely the white mother Dunham was not, and it was a CIA asset. We see that because of the family structure, there was no. It fits the model perfectly. In other words,
well, who can be your father when your father is, when his death is faked, and the mother probably came about as a result of a test tube You know?
So there is no family structure, so he would be the perfect model of Nicolosi's of homosexual model. And yeah, you look at this whole movement, and you see an absolute breakdown of the importance of the family unit, the family model. And again, that's goes back to Hitler, his henchmen, Goebbels and Goering. They all have that same model. Hitler had no father. He was a bastard son. Goering, Goebbels, the rest of them, it's exactly the same structured model. So who are these men, and more importantly, who are the people pulling the strings behind the scenes? Is it the Rockefeller Rothschild cartel that are using these individuals as puppets? According again to the book, The Pink Swastika, there's so much more to it, the story behind the story. You had to pull the screen aside, the curtain aside, and see who really are the puppet masters. And again, we're finding out some very dark, high-level secret societies are involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, no Dr. Rod, have you read The Octopus, the book about Danny Casolaro's discoveries?
Yes.
Along those lines? Okay. Well, then you're familiar with the NED, and who, coincidentally, two members of that organization. This is a super-secret organization that basically bosses the NSC and the NSA around. That's Dr. Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Yes.
And there they are, again, front and center.
Front and center, pulling the strings, no doubt about it. And so, you know, we have to discuss this no matter how politically incorrect, so to speak, it may be. You know, I myself, I'm probably pretty sure I can speak for you as well. We're not against the human aspects of the homosexual and gay community. They're people, they're individuals. None of us are perfect, Don. But, you know, there is such a militancy behind them. The people, the so-called czars that Obama's bringing in, he named some of them that are openly homosexual. The agenda of NAMBLA, again, and that of Barney Frank, and this whole doggone movement for the socializing of our nation's medicine and through healthcare is absolutely again lockstepping to the Nazi model of 1938 Germany.
Yes,
and we've got to stop it. We've got to expose it, and we've got to reverse the trend.
Yes, and again, and I'm not trying to tout my research, but as I go over my research and revisit it and listen to others like yourself and Dr. Greg Evenson, Drew Raines, all of you have a deep understanding of the creation of this model that came out of the Thule Society and the Vril Society in Germany. And its international implications. And despite all the protestations or claims that the Nazis were defeated in the war, nothing is further from the truth. They infiltrated our government immediately upon the heels of World War II. And George H. Scherf, Jr. is a perfect example. For those who aren't familiar with that name, that's the real name of George Herbert Walker Bush, who is at the root of this. And if you read Bryce Taylor's book, Thanks for the Memories, she talks about her handler, Henry Kissinger, and she talks about being a sex slave called a presidential model who was used to infiltrate both political parties to deliver programming to all of these figures, including Bush and the Clintons, and she goes into great, great detail. And really, it'll spin your ears around what she has to say about this. it keeps coming back to the same group of people. Dr. Joseph Mengele is another one. Alias in America, Stephen Rabel, still alive today. I mean, these people are getting all kinds of hormone treatments and age regression technology. They've been using it for years to hang on as long as they possibly can. I think there's a point where their shape-shifting catches up with them.
Well, yeah, you know, and my friend Ted Gunderson and the involvement with John DeCamp, I've talked to John DeCamp many times and reviewed the information on, you know, in his book, the Franklin cover-up there in Omaha, Nebraska.
Lincoln.
Going back to,
Lincoln,
of all Nebraska. Things,
yeah.
The Boys Town group, the Father Flanagan's Boys Town, they're actually being involved in this huge homosexual scandal with the top members of government, Democrat and not least the Bush Republicans, okay? So it's a massive cancer here in this country that I'm sure the founding fathers would just turn over in their graves knowing how deep it's gotten.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point of mentioning all this is that, you know, even though I'm researching history and really trying to reveal the truth behind what actually happened and who was really involved and how all these things came about, I'm seeing the same thing happening today, as well as you. I know you can draw the same parallels, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So it behooves us to study history in with a suspect eye, in other words, and certainly with a suspicious mind.
Well, yes, indeed. So yeah, I guess the issue becomes. What are we as concerned citizens and Americans wanting to do, going to do about it? I just go back to the counsel that is given in the Bible when Christ said that all these things would be happening in what he called the end times. But you know, he said that to be as wise as the serpents, but as harmless as doves. We have to be awake and we have to understand the agenda. We have to understand the plan, and we have to be at least as active in our rhetoric as the opposition is. And I just don't see that happening. That's the sad thing. You see, you don't see any of the so-called conservative talk show hosts that are mainstream, you know, whether it's O'Reilly or Hannity or Limbaugh or Beck. None of them are talking about this issue. Why? Because they'll be labeled a homophobe or guilty of hate crimes and hate speech. And the sad reality is, you know, there's legislation that has been passed, the hate bill, so-called, to really limit people discussing the subject like we're doing right now. And that's an absolute affront on our constitutional rights, Don.
Oh, yes, I agree.
We're not advocating violence. No. We're trying to stop violence because, you see, just like the pink swastika, the rabbit brown shirts of the Nazi movement, make no mistake, it's not about acceptance. It's about favored status and domination. That is their agenda. If you look at their proclamations in 1972, it's not at all about acceptance, okay? It's about having their way above all else and basically putting the traditional family under their gun.
Yes. What comes to mind is Skull and Bones. Here you have a secret society within an educational institution, a fraternity of sorts, which is supported by this international cabal. And the movie, I don't know if you saw the movie Skulls, but it was basically a portrayal of what goes on in such a place. And you have these outright denials by, you know, George W. Bush and John Kerry and all these graduates. Half of the people in Bush's, and I'm speaking of 43's cabinet, were Skull and Bones members. And right. The ones that they didn't kill who were drug dealers or drug pilots like Barry Seal got a job somehow. Even one of the victims of the Franklin cover-up, Johnny Gosch, who later was given the name Jeff Gannon and made a celebrity journalist, given token questions at press conferences. And there are plenty of accounts of him making out with Bush in public. And this is to be tolerated? These people portray themselves to be Christians. They portray themselves to be family men. They come up with these catch-all phrases for children, keeping in mind what you mentioned about their designs on children, to their promotion of adolescent sex, and they have these programs like the Children's Defense Fund, which is nothing but a Navy SEAL drug operation. That's all it is. Or No Child Left Behind. I could make a pun on that, but I won't. I think.
No, we don't want to go right behind. It's only left behind.
No. So, you're reading my mind.
I know. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
You know, these things mean nothing. This is the point. They have people believing in these programs like they're some kind of sacred institutions that the government set up and created to give people the feeling that they care about their children. And mm-hmm. and nothing is further from the truth. They do not care. Dr. Ott, we've got a call on the line, if you wouldn't mind taking
sure.
a call. Barry from, I don't know if this is California or Canada.
Hello?
Hello, Barry, are you with us?
Yes, I'm from California.
California, okay. Very good.
Yes, I've called before. R.J. Hender, he has the Morning Liberty Show on RBN.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the new Sherlock Holmes movie, and it has a scene in it where they actually do a ritual to Satan. It was a secret society. I don't know if you guys knew about that, about the movie.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen the movie, Dr.
I have seen the movie, and that is correct. That's what the plot of the movie is. Sherlock Holmes and the good doctor are you're basically stopping this secret society of Satanism.
Is it amazing how it's right out there in the open now?
What's that?
It's there right in our face. It's right there in the open now on the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's been in the movies for quite a long time. I mean, if you can't watch a sitcom on TV anymore or a reality show without the topic being the focus. You know, I mean, Three Men and a Baby or Two and a Half Men and a Baby. Pretty soon it's going to be Two and a Quarter Men and the Child Left Behind.
Yeah, like I said,
The name Hollywood, someone was saying that it's based on a Babylonian name. Is that true? Hollywood?
Well, there's a lot of Babylonian origins in that. Again, founded and controlled by Talmudic Jews, of course, the Talmud is from Babylon. It's called the Babylonian Talmud. the Kabbalah and in the black magic sorcery. The sorcerer uses a staff or a wand made of holly wood. The wood of the sorcerer or magician's staff is traditionally made of holly. Hollywood is a symbol of magic and of illusion, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some time ago, hang on a second. I'd like to make a point here. Some time ago, I interviewed Sid Catlett Bay, whose father was a famous musician. He was a drummer. And he was being filmed in a movie in Hollywood, and part of the script had a point where they brought Gene Krupa in as a replacement, and this was symbolized in the movie, according to Sid, that this was a warning, or this was actually a decree that his father was to be killed. And they actually put this in the movie, but it was all cryptic going on. In other words, they replaced him in the movie. They replaced his character. And he was a black man. They replaced him with Gene Krupa, and shortly after that, his father was murdered.
Wow.
So they actually symbolize a lot of what they do, or ritualize what they do, within the scripts of the movies. With the actual characters, you know, playing the roles.
Don, before I forget, yesterday when I woke up, it was a clear day. And on my way to church, chemtrails all over the place. While I'm in church, they're still going on. When I get out of church, it's still going on. I go home to change my clothes. I go to pick my daughter up to take her to the store. It's still going on. It was filled with chemtrails like crazy. I live in the high desert in Southern California. This is the second time I've seen it down on a Sunday, on a clear day, starting out on a clear day in the morning.
Well, it's a very satanic practice. There's no doubt about it. When they put the X in the skies, you know, and many people have seen those X's. They're not looking for terrorists, by the way. That's the cover story, is that denotes that they've checked out an area and there are no terrorists in the area. I mean, how absurd can you get? Putting an X in the sky is an indication that there are no terrorists. You know, then they should put X's all over the place then. That's the symbol for Satan, is the X. And that's what they're doing. And the fact that they're doing that on a Sunday is a direct affront to people who do worship on a Sunday. My Sabbath is actually on a Saturday. But there are a lot of people that do worship on Sunday. And so they're literally attacking the Christians.
So actually, it's more spiritual than just seeing a physical manifestation in the sky.
Oh yeah, the two go hand in
hand. Spiritual forces behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to comment, Dr. Ott?
I've no complaints with that. It's pretty much right on.
It's just amazing. You know, how many people go to church on Sunday? I mean, whether they're really true Christians or not, that's not the point. That they would bother to do it when people are trying to be spiritual with their families.
They were chemtrailing on Christmas Day, Barry. You know, there's nothing holy about these people. There's nothing sacred about them. They're evil, they're dark, they're satanic. And they're secretive, and they are secretive because they are in fear. They're the ones, they're to be feared by themselves, really. But they try to cast their fears about themselves upon us. And as soon as we wake up to that fact, I think more people will will get the courage to do something about it.
Dr. Ott, have you ever talked to R.J. Hender? He is on RBN.
Yes, I know him pretty well. Yes.
Yeah, he has a familiar background as you as far as the Mormon background, and he had to, he basically got kicked out like you did, because you confronted the evil part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing when I started listening to him how similar you guys are when it comes to that.
Yeah. He's a good talk show host there at RBN. Yes.
Yes, he is. He had a person on there named Lion. Did you hear about that?
No.
This guy was. The government tried to assassinate him 3 or 4 times within a 10-year period. He's been in the truth movement, the patriot movement, for 30 years. He's got a book that's out that you can get. It's called The Blueprint for the Restoring of the Republic. So if it comes down to a civil war and, we lose people and they lose more people and we try to restore the republic again, it's a blueprint as far as starting to getting back to the Constitution, but we start influencing your city first, then your county, then the state, and then you start dealing with the federal government. And if they refuse to do it, then it takes 38 states to abolish it and start all over again.
Okay.
And it was really interesting to hear his testimony. And then he has a friend, his dad is in the BO administration as far as financial advisor. And they was told that anywhere from the 15th to the 30th is going to be a bank holiday, and that he had to get to Washington, D.C. by the 10th, and they were going to go in the underground bunkers in D.C. right before it happens. Because what they're going to try to do is to make it look like the economy is rebounding, it's doing good, and then they're going to have a bank holiday, and they're going to devalue in the dollar and put it into a two-tier system. And they think it's going to be like people are just going to go crazy because their money's totally just about gone, And
well, they've been making the threat about a bank holiday now for well over a year. And while they're talking about a bank holiday, they're having a thief fest themselves. They're embezzling trillions of dollars. They're doing it secretly and right before our eyes. They're doing it. It's going to be a matter of what foreign country refuses to tolerate the corruption and how it affects their government and how it affects their economy before something is done. And that's the point where they'll try to blame it on us or declare that we have to tolerate some draconian changes in the economic system to get us back on our feet because of irresponsible use of credit or something like that. When all the while it's total corruption, it's organized crime, and that's all it is. So you can't put that much.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say you can't put that much credibility into all of this, especially when it arrives in the emails. Use your discernment, okay? We were told December 31st, December 10th, November 27th, there was going to be a disclosure about the alien presence on this planet by the long-legged Mac Daddy. And that hasn't occurred. Why not? Well, we preempted him by years. I mean, you could say Art Bell did that many, many years ago, 20 years ago. George Norrie's been doing it. I've been doing it many other talk show hosts, even Dr. Ott's talked about this very topic on his show. And for some reason it's taboo, yet it's the very reason why everything is going on like it is. It's the story behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would agree with me, Drew, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We need to kind of wrap up and go back on point, if we could, though, about the agenda. But thanks so much for the call.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, Barry, thank you.
Have a great night.
Okay.
There's some numbers that I pulled up on a report in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. This was a government-sponsored study. The Netherlands conducted this, but they researched over 6,000 adults between the ages of 18 to 64 that were straight versus gay or lesbian for the women. And guess what? The statistics put out by this report, it seems it's funny how the human rights campaign folks just never want to talk about this, but it's scientifically valid. The study showed that 727%, they were 727% more likely, I'm talking about males who engaged in homosexual behavior compared to heterosexual men, 727% more likely to have suffered bipolar disorders at some point in their lives, and 502% more likely to have suffered bipolar disorder in the last 12 months of their life. Next point, 718% more likely to have suffered obsessive-compulsive disorder in the last 12 months, and 620% more likely to do so at some point in their lives. 632% more likely to have suffered agoraphobia, that's the fear of leaving home or being in public in the last 12 months. And 420% more likely to have suffered some panic disorder. And on and on. I mean, we're talking about some real mental problems and the propensity to have even more among the gay community. So you see, Don, it's concerns me that the agenda of Obama and others to promote this lifestyle as being normal and acceptable, and ignoring the statistics of, you know, that it shows to be a psychological disorder, definitely needs to be exposed. Adolf Hitler was a psychopath. Hermann Göring and Joseph Goebbels were psychopaths. I mean, that's pretty much self-evident following the Nuremberg trials. But the underlying sickness is their closet homosexuality.
Yes. And, you know, if you recall back in the 80s and the early 90s, the homosexual population was slammed because of the increase in the number of AIDS cases. And we already know, and we've talked about this on shows, I've heard you talk about this, that the World Health Organization was behind the spreading of AIDS, in particular in Africa. Then they blamed it on a green monkey. You know.
Well, actually, if you look at what happened, I have testimony from a research doctor in a National Institutes of Health laboratory where the beginning of AIDS in the homosexual community happened with a lab worker actually having bestiality sex with one of the green monkeys, had anal sex with that monkey, and that's where it began in the homosexual community. Now, I believe this gentleman to be legitimate. He's surely got the credentials to explain what he's talking about.
And well, the monkey. What I'm saying is, the monkey got it from a human, not you know, Unless they injected a monkey, you know, with it.
Well, you go back to the book called Dr. Mary's Monkey, where the author, Ed Haslam, exposes what was going on in the late 1950s and early 60s in New Orleans at Tulane University and the genetics research labs there, that actually, oddly enough, involved Lee Harvey Oswald and other key members that were later shown to be part of the Kennedy assassination. Kennedy was involved in trying to expose what was happening with these monkey viruses being genetically altered, you know, by means of a particle accelerator. Dr. Mary Sherman was a researcher there who was murdered, and the story is just an incredible story of intrigue and cloak and dagger. But again, let's hear the central players of the Kennedy assassination are all involved in these covert government research labs in New Orleans. Jim Gerritsen, the investigator, was deeply involved because he was following the trail of these murders there in New Orleans and found them interwoven with Jack Ruby and the other players of the underground, the mafia, again tied to these covert weapons laboratories. And Haslam points out in the book that the AIDS HIV virus itself originated in these covert weapons laboratories and developed as a bioweapon for the CIA to use against communist factions in the world. And of course, then the powers that be at the time wanted to limit the population of such countries as Haiti and the Dominican Republic and other places where, you know, the undesirables could be weeded out. And that's the story of HIV and AIDS, where it originated from. So getting it into the homosexual community probably happened by accident. I don't think these people, because they're part of the Thule Society and others, probably didn't release it on purpose, but it was through an illicit sexual relationship with one of the monkeys that was infected. So, yeah, it's an incredible story, Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam. Well documented and very, very factual.
Yeah, well, the main reason I brought that up, of course, is, you know, it was definitely a lifestyle to be avoided. And now here we come full circle, and it's being promoted. Why? Why should it be any more promoted than any other type of lifestyle? That's my point.
And again, going back to B.O.'s speech, he says there's millions of transgender, openly gay and lesbian people and couples. No. The statistics, according to the research I've done, puts it in more like 200,000 to 250,000. It's, again, typical to overstate their case, again, for popularity purposes. And the vast majority of Americans, they're just like what I said, they don't want to espouse violence, you know. You may have the right to be wrong in our society, but you don't have the right to get supremacy over my values. That's my point. These rabid activists, the human rights campaign and others, their agenda, their hidden agenda, is basically domination and destruction of the traditional straight lifestyles. And that's the danger, Don, and that's the message I wanted to get out tonight.
Mm-hmm. If I could, for a moment, and digress just a little bit, it's not too far off point because it has to do with this health bill and some genealogical research that a lady named Judy Wallman was doing on her family. I think you'll find this very interesting, as well as the listeners. I shared this on Drew Malone Raines III's A Marine's Disquisition radio show today. A lady, Judy Wallman, a professional genealogy researcher in Southern California, was doing some personal work on her own family tree. She discovered that Congressman Harry Reid's great-great-uncle, Remus Reid, was hanged for horse stealing and train robbery in Montana in 1889. Both Judy and Harry Reid share this common ancestor. The only known photograph of Remus shows him standing on the gallows in Montana Territory. And I have a picture of this. I'll forward to you. I think you'll get a kick out of sending this out. On the back of the picture Judy obtained during her research is this inscription. Quote, Remus Reid, horse thief, sent to Montana Territorial Prison in 1885, escaped 1887, robbed the Montana Flyer 6 times, caught by Pinkerton detectives, convicted and hanged in 1889. End of quote. So Judy recently emailed Congressman Harry Reid for information about their great-great-uncle. Believe it or not, Harry Reid's staff sent back the following biographical sketch for her genealogy research. This is the quote from the staff. Remus Reid was a famous cowboy in the Montana Territory. His business empire grew to include acquisition of valuable equestrian assets and intimate dealings with the Montana Railroad. Beginning in 1883, he devoted several years of his life to government service, finally taking leave to resume his dealings with the railroad. In 1887, he was a key player in a vital investigation run by the renowned Pinkerton Detective Agency. In 1889, Remus passed away during an important civic function held in his honor when the platform upon which he was standing collapsed. That's real political spin.
Real spin. Yeah, you know, just as a side note, I sent that same story a few weeks ago on to a number of people around, and the Lyndon LaRouche group that were really castigating Harry Reid, I thought they would find that quite funny. And Lyndon LaRouche actually commented that he was going to use that in his writings and that. But as it came back, they did some digging into it, Don, and
it's not true.
Found out that is a fictionalized account. It's a good story, but that really didn't happen. And even Snopes wrote the entire origins of the story and why it was made up. So it's a good story, but unfortunately it didn't come out of the Reid camp. I wish it had. That's a great story, but I verified it myself, and I was going to use that myself, but I just thought I'd it is a great, funny story, but political spin doctoring, you bet. That's how they would twist it. And how, let's go back to how you would spin a fatherless bastard child, probably the offspring of a test tube, coming into occupy the most powerful office in the land. How does it happen only in America? By spin doctoring and changing and altering the facts of who he really is.
Well, the facts were made up out of thin air. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I was accurate and deemed accurate in my Bush research on the Scherf family, on that connection. I see absolute parallels between that and McCain, a.k.a. McCann, and Obama, Satoru, Rockefeller. Absolutely every parallel that is in the other research. One could say, well, you did this research and you just made it what you wanted it to be. No, I made it what the evidence showed, and there is documented evidence to back up all of my claims. So here we're dealing with people who are merely...
I love what you've done with the Eisenhower story. That's an incredible thing to it as well. Going back to our discussions on General Patton and his upcoming butting of heads with Eisenhower over the, you know, basically turning over of Europe on a silver platter to the Soviets, okay? Some incredible atrocities being done, again, by Talmudic Jews. I'm not talking about not all Jews are this way by far, but it's a subset, a rabid segment of that religion and ethnic group, okay? That have some real eye-opening atrocities, General Patton was fully intending to, bring to light. And of course he was indeed murdered.
Yes, and he was murdered to facilitate Eisenhower's rise to power as the president.
And that's of course when the CIA became powerful and was birthed. Again, one of the things that JFK was fully intending was to cut the legs off of the secret government CIA and expose the Dulles connection, you know, what was happening, but couldn't let that happen, so they had to take him out.
Yes, and the night before his murder, there was a Dallas party at the house of one Clint Murchison, attended by all the leaders in the gay community who were also in government, J. Edgar Hoover being one of them. George de Morenschild, who many people don't mention. I've actually done quite a bit of research into him and his connections with Russia. He came from an aristocratic family in Russia and ended up in South Florida, eventually committing suicide, I think it was in 1979, with a shotgun longer than he could reach, you know, shooting himself in the mouth. It was an impossible shot because the rifle was too long for him to even reach the trigger.
You know? Amazing suicide sometimes.
Yes. And
you're right, how it ties into the octopus and Danny Casolaro, all of that. Again, we've touched on this in other shows, Don, but it again goes back to that that axis of evil, as far as I'm concerned, the company called DynCorp and their international trafficking and in sex slaves, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's as degenerate as you can possibly be. If you stoop to sex trafficking worldwide and that type of order, there's just nothing you won't do.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you won't do. The American Police Force group, and we found in Montana, tied to DynCorp, and it's tied to this again. These very immorally bankrupt. Individuals, morally bankrupt people that are on the stage of the world right now.
Yes, and being facilitated with, you know, by the ignorance of the American public, as far as, you know, our demise. But this is going on all over the world. This is not the only place this is happening. And you know, JFK, if he was attempting to cut the legs off of the CIA, hit the nail right on the head. Didn't he?
Oh, he did, absolutely. And again, he was deeply concerned in these covert biological weapons laboratories, these mutations of these viruses. And again, it goes back to our original discussions on the so-called H1N1 virus. Again, it's no doubt in my mind from my research that it is a weaponized, lab-created virus that has been released. And again, as I've said repeatedly, I'll say it again, the vaccine that's hoisted on the general world public is a live virus structure, Don, that will this coming year have a second virus attached to it. You'll watch and see the mutation that they say will happen will be actually caused by the vaccine themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it in my mind. The world's population to facilitate this new order of the homosexual elites is going to necessitate a genocidal wiping out of traditional families. A major population reduction is most definitely in their agenda.
Yes. Now, in light of the IBM document that I wrote about last year, they describe this alleged pandemic coming in 3-month stages, 3 months apart. You notice there hasn't been the rampant conversation and the rampant promotion of the swine flu vaccine lately. The talk has been more about Tiger Woods.
Right.
And that's just more misdirection, which is the common technique they use to keep people's minds off of what's really happening. They're in dire straits financially. They're in dire straits internationally as a result of all the criminality that's gone on and the victimization of many of the likely equally guilty and equally corrupt governments in foreign countries. But nonetheless, there is a point where, you know, when they're promised they're going to get a return on their money, they expect it. And they don't expect to be robbed blind like the general public is being robbed right now. So there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than really appears to be happening, but we could be watching, and I don't know what the benchmark or the timestamp would be for calculating when this next 3-month stage is going to begin. But certainly, it will somehow coincide with the collapse of the economy, I'm sure, because they'll have to use it as another diversionary tactic. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I agree completely. There's, if you listen to my show today, my guest, and she'll be on again, my show next Monday, Ms. Gail Smith is definitely seen some incredible things from messages beyond, this world, okay? And she basically has outlined this exact thing that's shaping up right now. She saw it back in the 90s. She was visited by her deceased mother and introduced, basically given a warning voice to explain to people what's coming down the pike. She's talked many, many times in the mid-90s on radio shows talking about the planned financial meltdown coinciding with an attack on the people by the form of causing an earthquake structure, which is really set in motion a chain of events like dominoes falling that they really have no control over, that they really had no idea would be so devastating. So these things are in place, again, the purpose of the show tonight, Don, is to expose the behind the scenes closet homosexuality of this hidden cult, basically.
Mm-hmm.
To bring it to light, because unless we do that and go to the root of it, they can very likely be successful in their plans.
Yes. Well, in our closing moments here, Dr. Ott, I'd like to thank you. I didn't really have the chance to do this prior to the New Year holiday, and it was a crazy time for all of us. But I wanted you to know how much I appreciate your willingness to work with me on some of the stories that we broke last year. Certainly the Hardin, Montana events that were taking place regarding the American Police Force group and the collaboration of our sort of parallel research that was supernaturally occurring, I think. And the Fort Hood story, you're latching on to my Eisenhower research. And
by the way, as an update, the Nadal Hassan story, I got some more information. Nadal Hassan was actually brought in to as a panel member for Homeland Security's counsel to the incoming Obama administration. He was a key panel member to that, and one of the segments that he authored was again the role of catastrophe in a military setting. Again, going to the importance of basically controlling the American psyche. Him being a psychoanalyst. Isn't that just coincidence that this guy turns up to be the shooter at Fort Hood?
Well, yeah. I kind of alluded to that in the MK Ultra mind control expose aspect of the story that I did. I was aware of that, but you know, I appreciate you bringing that up. Yes,
on that panel, interestingly enough, are the current all the living past member heads of the FBI and CIA. Homeland Security, indeed. Oh, my goodness.
Well, a lot of people were claiming that this Nidal Malik Hassan was on Obama's team. Now, it may have been set up for him, but it was still under the Bush administration. And the real estate corruption associated with the name Malik is something I wrote about. In fact, you know, if you haven't read that article I wrote, you might want to review it for the, except it's not posted right now. I'm revamping my website, but it should be up in the next day or so. You may want to review that because I name some of the companies involved in the money laundering, you see. Here again, we have these stories about families and who these people are and how they got here in this country, and it's all the same thing over and over again. There's only so many ways that you can be corrupt and infiltrate a government, and so the stories never pan out to be what they tell us they are.
Right.
I'm finding that out. I guess he is my fifth genealogical study. Whether I knew it or not, I was doing a genealogy study. The sixth one coming out in The Three Stooges Go to Washington will be Hillary Clinton. That's a mind bender as well. So,
well, I'm sure you'll do a fine job, Don. And again, thank you for your work and for hosting this great radio show as well. And thank you for having me on.
I appreciate having you on, and I look forward to you coming back again next week. Certainly, we can deal with the backlash of tonight's show as well as any other topics you want to bring to the table. And I thank you so much for all the work that you're doing.
Thanks, and good night, Don.
Okay, very, very good. Folks, you can listen to Dr. Ott's show Monday through Friday at republicbroadcasting.org. And he is on the air Central Time, 1 to 3 p.m. That's 2 to 4 Eastern, 11 to 1 Pacific, and Mountain Time, I guess that's noon to 2. Special thanks to BBS Radio for making Evident Footprints possible, as well as blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying the show. I want to thank all the listeners and our caller Barry tonight. Had some good questions, good points. Those are topics that we'll be discussing in the near future. And in the meantime, join us again tomorrow night for another show. I wish everyone out there a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.